Have you seen Tampa Bay's experience maybe come to the forefront in the last few games compared to New York, who hadn't won a playoff round in over 23 years?
Absolutely. I think you can tell with – there's a lot of momentum shifts in any hockey game, especially in the playoffs. But when you saw that they got down 1-0 and they were just peppering Bishop with shots and he was making great saves, and it could have been like 4-0 that first period, but they kind of weathered the storm, calmed down, got that power play goal at the end of the first period, really kind of took the life out of the crowd at that point. They don't seem rattled. Like, the Islanders seem like they want to get a physical game, try to get them out of their element, but the Lightning's not going to take the bait there. And so they've really shown – that no matter if they're losing a game or it's a rough one, that they say, oh, just one game, they'll move on to the next one. Even last night after that win, it was kind of a subdued room. They were just like, okay, well, it's one game, let's go on to game four and move on. So I think you've really seen the experience they had last year, which had a roller coaster of emotions, kind of pay off where now they're kind of even keel.
Well, Joe, you mentioned keeping their composure and not getting in, you know, off their game. When you got Hamonic defending the center line, you know, nastiness can creep into a game like that before the puck even drops. But if that's not your game, stay away from it. The Lightning are obviously smart enough to understand that at this point.
Oh, they are. I mean, they can defend themselves and they can play that game if need be, but they're not going to get baited into it. And I think what could hurt the Islanders is they're not – I mean, they're not – that team either, but I think maybe they spend too much time trying to rattle the Lightning, trying to get them off their – they're not playing theirs. Like, I really didn't notice Tavares last night very much, and he's one of the best players in the series. You know, they have their – play to their strengths. They're a really good hockey club, and they should just stick to those strengths. So I think sometimes in the playoffs, especially that kind of physicality takes the center stage, but when you kind of go a little bit too much and try to make that an emphasis, you can get out of your game. It can really cost you.
Looking at the play in overtime last, I didn't think it was suspension worthy for Boyle. I don't even think it was a penalty. But you were watching it live. Well, I know the Islanders, of course, Jack Capuano frustrated, as every coach is. When the call doesn't go their way and at a key time in a game, I understand the natural frustration. Day later, is it still there? Do you think that was a dirty hit? What did you think?
I didn't think it was a dirty hit. I mean, obviously, the way he reacted, looked like he got shot. You know, I think he sold it a little bit. I don't disagree that he got hit, or he probably was surprised by it, but I didn't think it was a suspension-worthy hit or a discipline-worthy hit, just like I didn't even think Hickey's hit on Drouin was like a disciplinary hit. It was a very hard hit, one of the hardest hits I've ever seen, but it was clean, and Drouin had his head down, and it went right into him. So, you know, if you're going to, you know, base suspensions on reactions or what happens afterwards, then I think it only became an issue when Capuano decided to make it an issue post-game his press conference and was pretty livid and said that was suspension-worthy. So I think, you know, no hearings today, no suspensions, no discipline for both. They're kind of like game on Friday.
Joe, safe to say both coaches might be stressing that 5-4 in overtime is a little bit too loose a way to play the game at this point?
Absolutely, especially on the Lightning side. I mean, the four goals they gave up were all in soft spots in front of their own net, where they had loose coverage or lost a guy in front, which is right in a prime scoring opportunity. And so they got fortunate. They lost that game. All of a sudden, they'd be lamenting a day later all these chances they gave up. And it could have been, you know, eight goals if it had not for Bishop, the way he made some spectacular saves, especially in that third period to keep it a one-goal game, like a glove save he had on Bailey, who almost had a hat trick. So I think for role teams, you don't want to get in that run-and-gun 5-4 games. They're more accustomed to playing like you had early on in the series in game one or game two.
Joe, what's the update a day later on Jonathan Drouin? Because he got rocked, but then came back and set up the game-tying goal, so clearly he was fine. What was he going to – did he just have to go to the quiet room for that long? What happened?
Yeah, well, he said he – I mean, obviously he was, you know, banged up initially after the first hit. I mean, it was a really big one. So he went to the room, and they had to go to the test, and then Cooper said they made him do the test twice, make sure, you know, he passed them both times. He said he felt fine. He was just waiting to get clear by the doctors, and by the time – he got back to the bench in the third period, he was ready to go. And you can tell a difference between the guy before the hit and after the hit. He was really assertive and aggressive, and you saw that in the game-tying goal with the assist. So I think he's going to be fine. Post-game, he was just more like normal, other than putting an ice bag on his nose every once in a while. But other than that, he was fine.
Joe, we know the issues with Drouin earlier this season. It seems to me right now he's one of the better stories of the playoff. He's a young man. His whole career ahead of him. and playing very well and contributing and putting a difficult period behind him. He strikes me as a rather mature young guy.
He is. He's only 21 years old. Let's not forget that. You know, we all made, I'm sure, decisions when we were 20 or 21 that we look back on and probably would do things differently. But the key for him is the way he kind of came back and you know, he owned up to it, and he said he wanted to come back and play hockey, and he's done all the right things since. And he's really, you know, he said he had a chip on his shoulder, and he wanted to prove himself, and he's putting his money where his mouth is and playing like that. And so it's the guy, credit to the kid for stepping up like that and making the most of this another chance here. And he's kind of rewriting the script, so to speak. The story hasn't been finished yet. He's just adding other chapters to it after every game.
Dave Andrick had a comment that was interesting to me, that he thinks Stamkos will be back. Wasn't as sure on Drouin, which I found kind of interesting. But I know that Stamkos is out now and, you know, seems highly unlikely that he comes back from that injury and rushes anything for the postseason. I know you've been on this story for over a year and a half, Joe. Are you any clearer at all on what your opinion is? Has it changed as far as Stamkos staying or going?
Yeah, I can't say with full confidence he's going to be back. I'm not surprised that Anderchuk said that, because he said that to us a few times the course of the season. He still believes and hopes that he can come back. But, you know, I think the longer it gets to July 1st, I think Steven will have enough options to decide. And then it's his call. Obviously, if he wants to stay, he'll stay. The Lightning will make him an offer. It won't be as high as he'll get on July 1st. But I can't say with any 100% certainty that he's definitely going to come back. I wouldn't rule it out that he could still come back, but there's a lot of moving parts that have to come into play, and he won't be getting the kind of offer or the money from the Lightning unless they're on the free agent market on July 1st. So whether that gets decided after the playoff run or he waits to July 1st, which I'm sure he will just to see what's out there, who knows? But I haven't ruled that out, as him coming back. It's just a matter of taking so long that you kind of wonder why it's taking so long.
Well, Joe, it can't hurt if the Lightning go on a long playoff run, maybe even play for or win a Stanley Cup. Everybody wins with that. I guess it's just nice that it's not a distraction right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's focused on the playoffs and the run. Everybody's happy because they're making a run here without Stamkos and Stralman. And imagine when you get those guys back. Stralman could be back maybe as early as next week. Who knows? So I think everyone's just focused on the time and the now and the present. And then Drouin and Stamkos and everyone else will decide their futures after this playoff run. And they're hoping it ends. They can decide it after hoisting the Stanley Cup.
One last one for you. If they get through the Islanders, and right now, of course, they're halfway there, Pittsburgh-Washington, is there either one that would be a better matchup for the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Oh, God, I don't know the way Pittsburgh has been playing. Murray's been playing. There would be a tough matchup for anybody. But, yeah, I mean, Washington's really played the Lightning well the last couple of years. The way they play offensively and their power play, I think that would be, I don't know, both of them would be tough matchups for Lightning, quite frankly, if they keep on playing defense like this and they don't have Stralman back. But, yeah, I mean, Washington's kind of had their number the last 2 years, so I think that could be one that, you know, could be a difficult one. But, you know, they've surprised before, and they're hanging in there now, so we'll see what happens.
Joe, we really appreciate it. As always, enjoy the playoffs.
Thank you. You guys, too. Talk to you soon.